The following presentation was recorded live by Voices from Jerusalem.
We're on number 45 of this list. And over there it reads, Shomea Umosif. Shomea means he hears. Umosif is he adds a dimension. You have to listen to wisdom. You have to listen to life. But it's not enough that you hear. You understand what life is about. You understand a piece of wisdom. You have to add a corollary of your own. You know, when you were in elementary school, they gave you a new word. They told you, make a sentence. Use it. That's adding something. Making it your own. To focus your attention, every one of you most probably knows somebody. After all, divorce is prevalent around. Yeah? Do you have a friend who got a divorce? You're too young to have friends who got a divorce? You have a friend who's married? But you know parents of your friends who got a divorce? You know friends of your brothers who got a divorce, right? We notice these things. Fighting, bad feeling. Now the first thing is, define, what did you see? You saw people who were in love, who vowed to live together forever, who thought that they are the greatest people in this world, and made a commitment to each other, yeah? Turn into enemies, hate each other. Vow that these are evil people that they were married to. Is that right? Okay, that's the definition. You can be tight friends and turn into enemies. The tightest. Now add some dimensions of your own. What does that mean? What are the consequences of that? When you're going to get married, you're going to be full of trepidation? Am I going to hate this girl someday? Or you're just going to ignore it? Take it a step further and you'll know what you learned. There's consequences. There are corollaries. You've learned something about life, but you haven't focused on it. You know it's significant. You know there's something's going on. But if you don't take it a step further, you don't really hear what's going on. Okay, so how do we go about it? So this is a bit technical. You've got to learn how to do this. Now, the first thing is, it's always great to have an experiential feeling of your own when you've done it. And we've all done it. One time in our lives, not one, thousands of times, we made a jump. An inspired jump. We don't know how exactly it happened. But like you hear, the Almighty commanded us to have the pleasure of loving our fellow human beings. Yeah. He wants us to have pleasure. You're going to tell your children, love each other. Don't fight. Wait until you have children. You want them to love each other. Your parents, you've got more than one in your family, Adam. They want you to love each other. Yeah. I want you to love each other, right? And I want your children to love each other. So we hear the Almighty says, love humanity. Yeah. And sometimes we make an inspired jump. And that inspired jump is that God loves us. It's not so far. You see that he loves us because somehow it's, you perceive, if he tells us to love each other, then that's the good, then he loves us, yeah? You have to analyze it, you have to understand what kind of an association did you make, abstract it, and use it further, that if my parents want us to love, I should love my brother should love me, it means they love us too. And if you love someone, you want them to love each other. Is that right? It's worthwhile tracking down your experience of making a jump and of applying the jump and seeing how it opens up this business of living. Like this is your narrow view, narrow mind. Okay? But number two is you can't wait for inspiration. So you got to formalize it. Until you get really good at it, you got to formalize this business of how do you take it a step further, another dimension. And how do you formalize it? So what's the corollary of this? What's a derivation? What's a consequence? What's an implication? What's a comparison, etc.? So you know that you have a concept, you can unfold it, see its dimensions. You can take it a step further. Now, number three is an example. Love humanity. If we take that seriously, remember, we got to define what we're talking about. What does it mean to take pleasure in our fellow human being, right? We've got to love humanity. We've got to see his virtue. We've got to take pleasure. We have this definition a long time because there's quite a number of the 48 ways that's involved with love. So love is an emotion of pleasure that human beings have when they see virtue in another human being and they identify that person with his virtue. parents love their children. You ask them, what do you love about your children? What do you mean, what do I love about my children? They're gorgeous. They're intelligent. They're kind. They're sweet. They're beautiful. Yeah. Well, isn't it true that your son is a hypochondriac? He's always sickly. You can't say, I love him, the hypochondriac. You love the intelligent, the sweet, the kind, the meaningful young man, right? And you say, well, a hypochondriac, you don't appreciate, he's been sick a long time in his youth, and he'll grow out of it. It's not the worst thing in the world to be a hypochondriac. We excuse the fault, we focus on the virtue. That's what we do when we love. We identify with virtue. Okay, so the Almighty says, love humanity. Every human being has got virtue. Focus on his virtue, excuse his faults. His faults, they're accidents, they're mistakes, they're not him. Okay, now, draw a corollary. What does that mean? If this is true, then this should be true. The corollary means if the Almighty says, love him, equally on the same side of corollary, you know, geometry is don't hurt him. Don't be mean. Don't insult him. The idea is to formalize. Do you follow? You have a sense of how... This makes you make this kind of a jump. Somebody else can make another kind of a jump. There isn't a definitive... What is the corollary? 10 corollaries, 15 corollaries. A conclusion. What's a conclusion? Meaning, it must be true. If this is true, it must be true. You must conclude that human beings are lovable. If the Almighty said love them, they must be lovable. Yeah? You can draw that conclusion from another avenue by the fact that every human being has got two people who love him. At least practically everyone, right? His parents, yeah? So I guess every human being is lovable. As a matter of fact, you can even ask yourself, if I was his father, would I love him? You know, you'd love him, right? So they're lovable. Okay, so you took it another dimension. It's a conclusion. They're lovable. That's something interesting. Did you know all these guys are lovable? It's a new dimension. Yeah. At any rate, let's go through a few. A derivation of this is that love can be commanded, which is a shock for Westerners. They've heard that there's a commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. They have accepted it as something that should be done. It's a good idea. But they're shocked to hear that you can obligate me to love someone. But you should, if they would have made that derivation, if there's a commandment, it must be something that you can be commanded to do. Am I making sense? That you got to take it a dimension further. I'm not trying to convince you what is a derivation, what's a conclusion. I'm just trying to illustrate how it works for me. So that you can see it as a pattern, what you would do with it. Yeah? All right, let's take it just, what is a consequence? What would happen if we loved humanity? What would be a consequence of this? You see, there'd be no more violence. People would be able to work together a lot better. Be more unity. We'd hear each other better. Understand each other better. Right? That would be a great thing if it was done. You see, that would be a consequence. All right, what's an appreciation? And I illustrated to you in this term that the Jewish people, we came into the world. You got to look back at the time of the Greeks, at the time of the Babylonians. You know those governments, the Egyptians, they murdered, slaved, impaled. The Romans, humanity, what are you talking? You enslaved them. And we said, no, you're all children of God, all basically great, all the image of God. You got to love all humanity. Finally, it petered in, it influenced humanity, and you, as a product of Western civilization, which has imbued this value, says it's a good thing, we should love humanity. And you walk around with this, love your neighbor, you should love your neighbor, and you say, you're obligated to love this guy, and you say, you can't obligate me to love anyone, simply because you didn't take it a step further. Do you see that? So that means that you don't really understand what you're talking about. You should love humanity. You know, it's not real. If you took it a step further, you'd know. Should love humanity means, yes, you have an obligation. And it's an obligation to have that pleasure. If you can't do it, you don't know how to do it, come to yeshiva. We still have the instructions. We'll teach you how, you know. Give you some drills. It's hard work. You know it's hard work, right? But it's infinitely worth it. At any rate, number four is that you appreciate that after you've formalized it and after you've done it a little bit, you've got to drill in it. You've got to take a lot of concepts through this. Just like you got to drill your serve. You learned how to give a good tennis serve, yeah? So you go out there, you do it again and again and again so that you flow in it, yeah? Same thing goes with any tool for wisdom, any tool for living. You've got to drill. You're not going to be instantly perfect at it. Does it make sense? So that it becomes second nature. That whenever you hear something of consequence, you see something of consequence, you make a derivation, you draw a conclusion, you see the consequences, etc., etc., etc. You take it a step further. You run with the ball, you don't just stand there like a lump. Yeah. You're living, you're involved with life. Number five is that appreciate this can be done in an infinite chain. An infinite chain. You can draw a conclusion upon 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 a conclusion. You can make an infinite chain. The rabbis say from any one of the 613 commandments, you could draw a picture of all of them. Just following logically the consequences of derivation, etc., 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 you can do all 613. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. But most important of all, you've got to be very careful. You've got to be very careful. Why? Because one conclusion that's slightly off, you know, you put one brick upon another, it'll stay there, right? The third brick will stay there too. But if you're going to put on 15 bricks, they better be square, right on target, otherwise the whole thing will collapse. So the same thing goes. If you're going on a conclusion upon a conclusion, and you're making this infinite chain, if you're just a little off, even though you're right, you know, but just a little off in the way you see it, you're going to come to some weird, really weird decisions. So, number six is an example of drawing a conclusion upon a conclusion. Do it for yourself. You see, you got to love a human being. You drew a corollary. If you should love a human being, we should love each other, then we shouldn't hurt each other. Right? That's a corollary. Right? Now, what would that mean? Not only you shouldn't hurt each other, a consequence of it, you do whatever you want, but you should protect another human being. You should protect him. But if you should protect him, then what does that mean? Yeah. That you have to work at thinking out how. We got to do something about the violence in New York City. Yeah. You get it? That's inspired. All right, what are we going to do? Well, you got to work at it. You love these people. You care. You should care. Why should they suffer? So you go from one to another and draw a conclusion all the way at the end. Yeah. Which means work. But you should take that work. Now, you can argue each step. I'm not saying that. But the idea is to go ahead with the ball to your ultimate conclusions. This is called unfolding what you know about life instead of just walking around whimpering with it. You know an awful lot. But you've got to use it. You've got to draw on it. You've got to use a dimension. Take it further. Take it further. All right, number seven is that this is what a human being is supposed to do every day. After your full day at night, you should go through. You learned something. You went touring. You learned something. Okay. Add a dimension. Don't think because you saw something, you had an insight, you're going to forget about it. It's going to be gone. It's not going to be internalized. You know how many insights you've had, right? But unless at night you go over your day's experiences, and first of all, you got to define them, what it is that you saw, remember them, define them, yeah? And then take a corollary, a derivation, a consequence, a conclusion upon another conclusion. Come on, live a little. That's where the touring really is going on, yeah? Before you go to sleep at night. That's when you get the fruit of it. All right, number eight is that the rabbis say in this way, Shomea Umosif. Shomea means to hear. When Torah, when God, and the rabbis using these tools, when they say hear, it's in the ultimate sense. Hear means pay attention. Your parents say, you're not hearing. That means you're not paying attention. When I say, you don't hear me, hear me. You don't understand me. It also means you better hear me. It means you better listen. And it means you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't appreciate what I'm about. Now, the point that I'm focusing on over here is the rabbis are saying, hear, and then add. So what are they saying? They're saying, first internalize it. First make it real. You have to love humanity, which means you have to take pleasure in every human being, like you take pleasure if your parents walked in. Like you take pleasure in your very closest friend, if they walked in. Pleasure. Here's a beautiful guy, Adam. Beautiful guy. Gorgeous people. Take pleasure in it, right? Now you feel it? Warmth. Pleasure in it, right? That it? Okay, now draw a corollary. What's the corollary? Don't hurt him? No. It's a different corollary. Come on, what's the corollary? Take pleasure in every human being. They're gorgeous. What's the corollary? You jump right to help him. Protect him. Fight for him. Do you see that? We drew before, you see, we said, when you're just using the definition, but you didn't really hear what you're saying. Love him, don't hurt him. But when you really hear what you're saying, you know it's fight for them, protect them, help them. What's the conclusion? There must be something to love. Yeah? The conclusion that we drew before, I'm comparing the difference when it's real. That's a pale imitation. Take pleasure like your father, your brother, all human beings, every one of us. There must be something to love. We're full of beauty. A human being is full of beauty. Where is it? We're looking at them like objects. They're full of beauty. Every one of them. Where, what, when? That's the right conclusion. Where, what, when? You better learn how. It's a different dimension. All right, what would be a derivation? It's an obligation. It can be commanded. What would be a derivation? If you know that you must take the pleasure of like your own daughter, like your own father, like your own son, like your brother, your sister, you have to take the pleasure like your best friend in every human being. You don't say, then, gee whiz, and I'm obligated to have it. What is your derivation from that? Donna, where do you learn how? Yeah. Who can teach me how? You know it can be taught. Do you see? You don't say it's an obligation. I can obligate you to love. I'm trying to show you that if you make things real, if you first Shomea and then Mosif, you're in a different framework. It's a different, same, the dimensions that you're going to take them to are of a different nature altogether. That's why the rabbis say Shomea or Mosif. What would be the consequences if we all took pleasure, like our best friend, if we took pleasure in all human beings, if that's what human beings were doing? Would we eliminate pollution, the atom bomb? Do you see the greatness that is in humanity if we really took pleasure in each other? How great we could be? We could transform the universe. Do you sense the power? And you said it before, and it's just a definition. You gotta love humanity. You know that there would be no more violence. Yeah. But you can't appreciate the dimension, the consequences. If we worked together, if we loved each other, took pleasure in each other, we would harness the energy of the universe. All right, number 10 is appreciate Mosif, is to take it any step further. Just don't let it stay there like a lump. Do something with it. So there is a particular moving it further, seeing its dimensions, and there is making a sentence. When you were in elementary school, they told you to make a sentence. If you know you want to gain a skill, somebody teaches you how to hold a tennis racket, you want to use it. Apply it so that you know that it's there, that it's in you. Yeah, you'll make that swing. Otherwise, just to conceive it, you got to do something, right? So, really, anything you do with it, and any one of the 48 ways will at least give you that you do not just let it slide right out of you. So at night, if you take any one of the 48 ways, define it well. Any one of the 48 ways will do the job. Analyze it.
be nosy ba'ol, feel the problems that people have without it. All the 48 ways, at least whatever you do, do something with it. It will move it a little bit and make it your own. You become the possessor. Number 11 is that in Judaism we say the same thing goes to correct your error. Your perception is off. If you would take it and add a dimension and draw a conclusion and take another conclusion, you'll see that your perception is off. It will become self-evident. For example, and I'm taking something we're prejudiced about, but I'm asking you to show you how it works, is if there is no absolute truth, which is a Western perception, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is different for everyone, right? Okay, let's draw a consequence of that. Then it doesn't really matter what you believe. So, what's the difference? Whether you're going to learn anything. Whatever you have now is just as good. So, don't go touring. You know? If truth is relative, if experiences are relative, all right, so whatever you got. The next thing that you're going to get is just as good as what you got. Yeah? Which is, on the face of it, a bit absurd. But I'm just saying that if there is a false step, a false conclusion, a false perception, by developing the theme, taking it a few dimensions, it will become self-evident that this is ridiculous. So, my father hates me. Yeah? Okay, now what does that mean? Let's derive. If he hates me, then he wants to destroy me, right? That's why I decide he hates me, yeah? So, I'll keep a gun under my pillow? No, he doesn't hate me that much. All right, so then, should I look for poison in my food? Well, no, he doesn't hate me that much, yeah? Well, can you expect to get breakfast tomorrow morning? Well, it would be a little strange to feed your enemies, yeah? Is he really my enemy? Do you see that? You say, well, I didn't really mean it in the first place. Okay, but you're walking around saying, my father hates me. Not you, yeah? But you've had guys talking like that, yeah? Let's draw some conclusions on that and see the consequence and derive some rules and make some parallels, yeah? You can't stand up. Okay, number 12 is, for living, when you see a divorce. That's where we start, right? You see a divorce. Don't let it stay a bump on your head, right? But define what's happening. People who are madly in love, who couldn't live without each other, who defied the world to marry each other, turn into enemies. Now, what is the parallel? The parallel is that my best friends can turn into enemies, into deadly enemies. Reject. Yeah. Well, then what? Go back to the drawing board. Then what's going on? They just thought they were in love. They were infatuated? No, they were really in love. Maybe they just think that they're enemies. Do you see? You have to study this. You have to see what's going on. If you take it a step further, you have, you're living, you see things, live with them, develop them, experience your life experience. Don't just vegetate. Number 13 is that for problems. What about if your children, and someday you're going to have children, yeah? What about if they're not listening to you? They're making a wreck. They don't go to sleep. Now, they are imbeciles. Now, you can't take that very far. If they're imbeciles, you're in trouble. Right? Okay, so let's define it. Define it means that they don't listen to me because they don't see any consequences. That's, in itself, it's a good thing. Yeah? You've developed a theme, right? They don't see the consequences, or they don't feel the consequences are worth not doing what they're doing. What are they doing? What exactly are they enjoying, beating up on each other, or staying up at night, or wasting their time? What are they enjoying? Yeah? They don't feel the consequences are more. Okay, now what's the corollary? What's the derivation? What's the conclusion? You will solve your problems. You have to solve your problems. Yeah. Because you're dealing with it, you're understanding. You're making it your own rather than just observations of things going on and stonewalling them or suffering them. Yeah. All right, number 14 is the same thing goes for wisdom. You hear a piece of wisdom, happiness is an obligation, love is an obligation. All right, we discussed love, but that goes for anything. Happiness is an obligation. What does that mean? First, define it. That to take pleasure in the wonderful things that you do have, that everybody has, like eyes and hands and feet, is your obligation. To take pleasure in the gifts that the Almighty gave you is an obligation. It's what you owe. To who? To yourself, to humanity, right? That's the definition. Okay, what's the parallel? Parallel means that good men do this. Yeah? Fulfill obligations, and this is one of them. You want self-respect, you have to be happy, right? You're saying you're a good man, you've got to be happy. People who don't fulfill obligations are not happy. All right, now don't fall into a rut, be happy. Don't get depressed by the fact that you're not a good man, just become a good man. It's an obligation. Maybe I'm going too fast with the conclusions and derivations, but do you understand that you got to take it somewhere? You got to develop the theme. You got to spread out. Otherwise, you hear this happiness is an obligation. You don't do nothing about it. But if you study it just by moving it a dimension, it becomes something altogether different, something real, alive, and functional. All right, number 15 is the same thing goes with observing what's going on around you. Beirut. Yeah, okay. One of the themes of Western civilization is that we Jews are very mean and bombarding civilians. Right? Okay, what is that definition? That even if you have enemies who want to kill you, civilians should not be armed. Right? Should not be armed. Now, this has gone along a long time. This has been going on in hostages, etc. Real innocent. They're victims, right? But you don't arm them. Yeah? Okay, now what would be the consequences of that? Any murderer could ransom all of civilization. Do you see the consequence? Ransom all of civilization by taking a civilian hostage. The more they get away with, the more you appease with them, then the more it's going to be done. It's impossible. Is that true? Is it true or not? But how can you harm innocent people? Well, what about the fact that we've warned them, and the Israeli jets have warned them, that civilians get out? Why don't they get out? I mean, they're not hostages. They can get out. Or are they hostages? Are the Palestinians keeping them there? Huh? Well, can they get out? They can get out, but they're still staying there? What does that mean? And why is it that we're condemned? You have to define what it is, draw your conclusions, see the consequences. Otherwise, you're just listening, and you are a passive figure, a pawn towards the columnists, towards the media, towards, yeah? And you're not really into this business of paying attention. It's very bad to read newspapers, to read what people have to say, and not do your bit of making it something that is your own. Yeah? There's a reason for reading it. Don't let that be a way of brainwashing you. Am I making sense? You wouldn't just go, well. Deal with it. Take it. All right, whatever. The conclusion, according to them. What do you do with it? Now, why do we need this? Again, I say that in Judaism we say that the human being was constructed in such a way. You see, God gave us free will. If you're smart, you're going to allow your children their mistakes too. You're going to try to direct them, but they make their mistakes. You're going to have to allow them their mistakes. You can't push them too much. Because the greatest good of a human being is to be autonomous himself. Because the greatest good of a human being is to be like God. God doesn't get anything. He only gives. So we were given free will by God. We can do evil. We can do stupid things. We can make mistakes. That's necessity for us. Whatever our accomplishment should be our own. Therefore,
anything that we hear is not really valuable to us unless we make it our own. We do something. What we do on our own, that is valuable. If I drew a conclusion, if I made a corollary, if I did something, that's my creativity, that's me. That's what makes it vivid, alive. That's what makes you convinced that you're really dealing with life. Yes, Peter.
The conclusions you draw from the fact that the leading theologians of every religion believe that they can make these extended chains of logic, and yet all of them come up with different answers.
They're basic perceptions. The question is, how come theologians of all religions believe that they can do the same thing, and yet they have different conclusions and they're wrong? Yeah. So I say, you see, one of the arguments of Western civilization, the young fellows are coming by, one of their arguments is, look, you can't have truth because everybody disagrees with each other. So how can anybody claim to have the absolute truth? It's so obvious that there's so much error around, right? And I focus their attention, Peter, I focus their attention on the fact that there's one thing we all agree on. There's one thing that we all basically agree on. You know what that is? That you can have an absolute truth. So you can't say we're all wrong. Yeah. So the guy says, yeah, but I'm the guy who says that there is no absolute truth. Yeah. So you say, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Are you absolutely sure? Yes. He's absolutely sure there is no absolute truth. You get that? Now, where do the mistakes come from? Mistakes come from one thing. We do not use our perception. In the Torah, it says, Shochad ya'aver einei chachamim. A bribe makes the wise man blind. Subjectivity will make the clearest thinking human being a fool. Do you hear that? Subjectivity. And you know that when you are outraged, you can rationalize 75 different ways and come out that you're right, even though basically you know that what you did was the wrong thing. Do you see that? Subjectivity is what makes us blind. We just are not looking for truth. So in Judaism we say, make the utmost effort to be a judge, an objective party, not a lawyer. Don't argue cases, but say, I want the truth, even though if you're not going to live with it. See? Now, to focus your attention on that particular issue, let's say I am a pretty good arguer, right? Reasoner, yeah? I get a chance at Brezhnev, yeah? Do you think I have much of a chance to convince Brezhnev that the communist system is falling apart? It's derived from the concept which is not based on human character. And do I have much chance? I mean, if I got him convinced, if I focus on a fact, I mean, the guy will black out. Yeah. Do you see that? Yeah. It's too subjectively tied into this. Yeah. So if you want to live in reality, if we want to settle the differences between humanity, we have to learn to lay aside our desire, lay aside our feelings, and use our perception. We give a class in how to do that. You got to learn how to grab your perceptions, hold on to them, even though you don't feel like listening. Yeah. Okay, so that's number one of why. But number two of why is that, look, we human beings are lazy. You need a tool to get you to take it a step further. You know you should have a conclusion when you see divorce. You know you should examine this. But we're lazy. We just don't have the tools to get us to where we want to go. So Meir Moshe, a corollary, a conclusion, forces you, in as much as you drilled yourself, you want to, forces you to open up the book and read it. Life is a book. We want to read it. But we always say, tomorrow, someday I'll investigate it. So Meir Moshe tells you, get it done. And enjoy doing it.
Okay, Lemaisa, what can we do about this? So I think that here is a point where you should take 10 of your favorite pieces of wisdom. Favorite pieces of wisdom, the things that you consider most important. Now, open up the book and read. Use the corollary. Use whatever tools you want, but draw. Five things: a corollary, a consequence, a derivation, a conclusion, appreciation, whatever you want to use, whichever words you use, but pound it, a little bit pound it. Open up the book. The things that you consider are important. Love humanity? Okay, do that one. Know what you're living for? Define. What does that mean? Know exactly what you really want out of life? That's what we say is the basic one. Yeah? Understand what free will is? Do you have free will? Take 5, 10 basic pieces, important pieces, and take it a step further. I thank you.